actual great drive that controls the large intestinal tract, and it goes right through, and you have the whole anatomical process of digestion, and then it goes out through your finger, which is circulation, and also elimination and sex. Not the act of sex, but the polarization of the mechanism. So it enters through, they take it through here and cut it, and then the whole thing goes out and dissipates them. And it's also called the fire line. But in acupuncture, it's already set with the body language. The body language is set. Interesting. You want to tell somebody where to get off, point to this thing, they've got to you. But that's body language. The man with the bigger push you run is in. And people who want to tell you they drink the tea cup, you know, hold a tea cup like that, stick the finger up this way, they mean they're wearing their love on their sleeve. That connects to the heart. They're very vain people. And they control the small intestine. So those people don't need to touch either. They're always picking caviar or some kind of interesting thing. If you ever go to parties and people who madam or sir to come in, you know, very risky. You don't eat much. This thing controls circulation in the stomach, and controls the sex drive, also controls elimination. Now, this thing controls the lungs, tummy, and nose of the people. You never tummy any other part. It's with you. You always say tummy and nose, which is the nostrils, which is air. And so, body language already preset is already indicating how these forces are working inside. Okay? So you have a relationship set up, but when you're meditating, you actually, all these things are tying in for the first time. You begin to see them as the body movements of the work through you. And we are so close to the experience of oneness if we can just program the mind to work with simple techniques. The Oriental people have learned it, so they use a candle, or they use a picture, or they use a photograph, something to center. So, and you say, I want to merge with the master. Isn't that a common term we use? I want to be one with the master. I want to be master. It's the same as saying I wanted to be one with a little flashlight. The image has nothing to do with the inner experience. The inner experience is a bridge between the physiological will and the psychological will in order to experience omnipresence, which is a sense of oneness or atonement. This is also a feeling of outsideness of your body. Yet, you're never really outside. Because outside of where? You've always been outside, but you were looking down and trying to hold on to this and calling this the reality. It's when you break the illusion from the psychological level and see that, hey, you've been free all these years and never knew you were free. But dreams are the only way to help you to remember that you were free. And most people get dreams that they're always traveling somewhere, flying someplace. Don't you get all that? But because it's to remind you that you've always been outside. So don't block them. The idea is to recapture them and start focusing them.
Some way, sometimes when you wake up, you have a sensation of thorn that jolts when you wake up.
Yes. That is the impact point between psychological will and physiological will. It's like an airplane landing, and you know, if the wheel hit the ground a little too hard, you didn't have what you call a smooth landing. You have a common planes with smooth landing and rough landing. Rough landings are where you have a jolt, smooth landing, there's no jolt, you don't even know you've landed, you don't even know you took off. These are the relationships between psychological and physiological will. And it will have to do with conditions during the day or prior to that that led up to a rough landing or a smooth landing, or a rough takeoff and a smooth takeoff. A rough takeoff is somebody aggravated you. on a rock landing, somebody drawn the hell out of you.
No, I think you said a while ago that you can't psychologically decide to do this and go into it and not do this and
make
it happen.
No. It has to be psychological. That's why you find even those who do experience it, if they're always going in on a relaxing level. They go there with the attitude of relaxing.
But
the psychological will have to get you to that point to understand that this is right.
What
you're doing. Even Mr. Casey, you know, Mr. Casey used to say, I'm going into my meditational level and now I'm going to let God take over in the Christ. So he would sit down and then gradually doze, meaning that he was letting go of his psychological will and allowing physiological will to take over and relax the body. Well, let me show you psychological will and physiological will. You want to lie in the back for a second? To give you a difference between the two wills in the body. This is psychological will. You feel relaxed? Sure enough. That's what I, all right. This is what hurt a little, still the psychological will, let's go.
Yeah, well, I was aware of it, but it didn't
do well. Right. That's the psychological will, you see. There you begin to see the difference between the psychological will and the physiological will. Psychological will is still holding on to the sensation that it would be there. Gradually, as the psychological will diminishes, then physiological will, you start to feel like it's flowing through you. You need it in, need it out. Now, here is psychological will, you see? And this is called the death pose in yoga, savasana. The yogi says this posture is the most ideal posture for relaxing. Well, that's in hatha yoga only from the standpoint of gymnastics. It's not accurate because it's still utilizing psychological will. To be accurate, in yoga therapy now, this would be the most true relaxation. This is the true accuracy. You're not using your brain in any form to relax.
It's too very focused. It's very focused with energy.
You feel more energy for the first time. That's what I'm talking about. Physiological will versus psychological will. Psychological will thinks it can draw an energy, but where would it draw it from? It doesn't have a source to relate to. Now, physiological will can relate because you feel the energy is coming from someplace and you're feeling, you're enjoying on it, you're pulling on it. Alright. Now, as you get up, keep your feet together. Stand up. Keep your feet together now. Keep your head straight in the air. Now, just turn your hands up. You came like you're 30 feet out. Psychologically, it's uncomfortable. Physiologically, you're trying to do this.
Because the energy is
more.
I feel energy is more.
Alright. Good. See what happens? You shut off, and therefore, your psychological will has to force the body to into motion. Yes, you can do that by putting your foot against your chair to push it back because it's a physiological pressure, but and get it back, it will help that way to relax it. But the quickest way would be this. Your the gravity of the and the weight of the body is already has it at an L shape. And so that L shape already. So the hands back here would induce the same result.
Would you like to try it?
Let's try it, yeah. Let's try it. Keep the shoulder and the chin straight up. The other hand. The energy is always much greater.
Yeah.
So the energy wants to go into the grave, it's going to the body much greater. And this here is actually holding the focus on the physiological level and allowing the energy to flow for the first time through you without your psychological data being known. You feel the body getting warm too. And that's basically when you put you on the alpha machine or the temperature machine, the temperature goes up in 6 seconds. You know, it's amazing. The patients, people who were in the pain control, they were, took a long time to raise their temperature. And the doctor was asking, well, how can you convince these people that they can raise their temperature? Give them good exercise to relate them, then they're really happy. When we give them this technique, everybody is so happy to see the things go so fast. Then they were convinced that that's what the body is doing.
Using the analogy of the wrist and the ankle?
Well, your friend from the Phoenix, the composer, fellow partner, he said that this simple technique, you see, he could see the colors of the energy. And so what he said, of all the things that he had learned in traveling, he had never seen anything this simple to produce that much energy in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And this man is a composer, and he is able to see these things growing up. And when we did it to him, and when he saw it done, he automatically saw the balance flow of the energy. But it is that natural.
He said he could feel it.
Could you use this as a rejuvenation type thing when you're working and you're super carrying and groups of people?
It is the most, I've tried every different body gesture. You know, this one too, I've tried this body gesture. This will take a while. See the difference to this one? It's not the same type of flow of energy.
It's not
right. Now, after trying the various one, eventually it came back to this one, but the foot is already centered when you stand up. And the only problem is that if you put our hand this way, it's just like when we die. When we die, we feel this way. You see? When we lie down, so we never really relax. And yet this here is straight out, you see? This is inverse to the foot. Now, if this here is shutting off the energy, and when you turn it back, the energy is starting to flow with the hands this way, then it became obvious to me that if you shut it this way, it turned this way. That was how it was discovered, you see? It became that obvious, and from then on I realized I had the largest flow of energy in the shortest period of time. Then I made the test of the pain control center to compare the different positions, body gesture, and length of each wave, and how fast it could fit. And this one turned out to be the most of them all. It definitely releases all the psychological pressure and allows physiological pressure to work. The physiological part of you really works for the person.
What's the right position here? I can't seem to find it.
No. Your feet together, right? Your hands are this way. See the flow out of it? without any effort on your part, because you're not thinking. I said the sins are forgiven. I mean, the pastor can modify these mistakes. And not have the full respect of it. So man is still the originator of the problem, and he still can be the corrector of the problem.
So we'll sing it for 16 times. Do each of the elements in combination with the other four, certain variations while we're doing it, sing it. One time we will emphasize the all beings of air, fire, and water, and being we love you. If you sing it air, think first of the... Now, which one do you want to put first?
Well,
this is a storm that is, of course, moving in the air primarily.
That's the primal one.
So, of course, just the breath, the way it works. Water, the emotions, and the earth is physical. See if it has come down from those other realms, you know. Remember how it was the other day, I told you how it comes from. So, the linear combinations with the different things. But how do you want them to think of it? The first time emphasize, you think of air as the primary, and then varying aspects of fire, and the next time you think of air and the varying aspects so first think, when you first think air, fire, and water, first time think mainly of just the air, and then the next time that this second time air and relationship to fire, the next time air and relationship to water, and the next time
and
relationship to earth, see. Then the next time, the main one you're concentrating on, the fifth time, so you will be fire.
Fire.
And then you think of it in relationship to
water.
The next time you're singing it, which would be the sixth time, you're thinking of it in its relationship to air, fire to air. And then the next time, fire to water. And the next time, fire to earth. Do you begin to see how that works? Then the ninth time that you sing, you're thinking primarily of water. And then you think of it the tenth time in its relationship to air, the 11th time in its relationship to fire, and the 12th time in its relationship to earth. And then the 13th time, you're thinking of earth primarily. And then the 14th time you sing it is in its relationship to air, and the 15th in its relationship to fire, and the 16th in its relationship to water. That's you. Want me to write them down? Maybe I better.
And this is blocked up when it goes up. It depends on what the flow. So, according to the arrow, if there is too much pressure pulling downward, you're going to find spleen, stomach, liver are going to block up. If the pressure is pulling up too much, then lung and large intestine will block up. So your ascending colon will cause lung and large intestine to clog up. Descending colon will cause spleen, liver, stomach to block up. They'll back up. If the descending colon doesn't flush or move, they'll back up. If the ascending colon not a flush or move, then the upper part is not up. So, proper balance in the digestive tract, especially in the transverse colon, that's where the energy cross has to be kept clean.
Non-cognitive. There is no cognition going on. That means there is no psychological assumptiveness going on. There is no desiring, there is no psychological craving. What is actually going on is physiological or cosmological craving. So you have arrived at a state of union with your physiology by a feedback process from psychological shutdown to physiological or cosmological orientation or cosmological oneness. So there is no fluctuation in there. The alpha machine is a good guide of the wristwatch is to you for getting you in time to your office. The alpha machine, the wristwatch is not going to do the job for you. It's just going to help you measure your distance where you have to travel to get there. The alpha machine can't do the job, but it will give you the time lapse of going from psychological level to cosmological or physiological level of shutdown to experience with oneness or sense of equanimity or balance. And then to learn to live in that state, it is truly normal for the body. We don't know what normality is until we experience normality, and it's entirely different to what we think normality is. Sitting down here, we think we're normal. When we put ourselves in certain positions to feel what it is normal, it is an entirely different feeling altogether.
Being conscious on cellular level?
Mm-hmm. Being conscious on cellular level. I think that's taking up.